Good morning.
Good morning.
It's very good to be able to be here today and be with you and see you again. Most of you, as I said, I know you, but some of you I do not. But it's been a great time to be here, and I appreciate the opportunity. I congratulate the Hughes family and their new addition to their family, and may things go well with that. Today we're going to look at a lesson entitled Light of the World. It comes from that passage, John. But let's think about that just for a moment in light of what's going on. And I know you've thought about this, and our world has changed. We live in a world that's becoming more and more foreign, if you will, to what's in this book. As we think about all the things that have gone on in our country, how times have changed and people's thoughts have changed, and those that are in leadership positions, they're seemingly, of course I don't know their thoughts, but they seemingly are far away from what God has to say. And not only that, they're trying to make it difficult, making it difficult all the time on those who want to follow God. So, as we press on with life, and we were pressing on with life, and in view of all that, then this virus, which has had the world in its grip for a long time. And now, as things are getting better, the light of the world is coming out. What is the light? Light, as you know, is the Word of God, is Jesus Christ Himself. We are going to be able to go back out, if you will, and more freely. Let's carry that light with us as we go. The light that is in you, because who is in you? Light of the world. John chapter 8. Let's look at that passage. Starting verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have light, have the light of life. Of the Pharisees, I therefore said to him, ye bear witness of yourself, your witness is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I come from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh, I judge no one. And yet if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Then they said to him, where is your Father? And Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, but for his hour had not yet come. Then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself? Because he saith, where I go, you cannot come. And he said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are from this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Then he said to him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say to you, and to judge according or concerning you. But he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he said, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do these things that please him. And as he spoke these words, many believed in him. Now, that's kind of a lengthy reading. A lot of good things can be said about that, but we're going to focus our attention on verse 12. Verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me So not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. As you read the Bible, especially the New Testament, there are two things that keep coming out. Light and darkness. And as those two things are mentioned, you get the idea that light is good and darkness is evil. It's pretty much said that. And a lot of comparisons can be made about those two things. But Jesus says he is light. He's the light of the world. What does he mean by that? What does he mean that he's the light of the world? And what does it mean about darkness? He said in John chapter 1, and beginning in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined through the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That was said many, many years ago, right? While Jesus walked upon the earth, after he walked upon the earth, that was written still many years ago. The light shined into the darkness, but the darkness didn't comprehend it. Why did the darkness not comprehend it? When you walk into a dark room, what's the first thing you do? You turn on the light so that you can see. So, if light shines in the darkness, it brightens the path. But if those that are in darkness do not want to see, do not want to comprehend, do not want to learn, do not want to be told, they hate light, don't they? You know people that are living in darkness today. Either they've never been told, or they refuse to obey what they've been told. Many of us know folks that have once sat among us in a congregation, either this one or another one, that were faithful Christians at the time, now are not here with us. Not because they've passed from this life, but they choose not to. They've allowed darkness to come into their life. Whatever the reason might have been, whatever prompted them to be in that situation, there they are. And they're in the darkness because, as Sam talked about this morning in the lesson, they don't want to let it go. They won't let it go. They're engulfed in darkness. And the thing about spiritual darkness is that you have to allow the light to come. If you walk into a room again and turn the light on, the room has no choice but to be lit up by that light. Now, it might be a dim light, but the light shines and you can see it. Spiritual darkness has to allow it. If you're living in darkness today, or those that you know are, they have to allow the Word of God to enter into their life. And if they refuse to do so, they'll continuously be in darkness, and that's somewhat where they like to be. Jesus talked about light in several places. In Matthew chapter 5, and starting verse 14, "You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all those who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father." Jesus was talking to his disciples, or those that were listening to him. There's thousands of them at that time. This is on the Sermon on the Mount, as we know of that sermon. He's saying to those people there, "You are the light of the world." What does he mean by that? What does it mean that you are the light of the world? He goes on to say in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Again, the comparison between light and darkness. Jesus telling those that were listening, again, it's the same sermon. He's saying, you are the light of the world, but if all you want to see is darkness, if all you want to be around is dark things, if all the things you want to engage yourself in is things that are opposing or opposite of God, you are in darkness, whether you know it or not. You know, there's people that refuse to listen to what you have to say about God and about truth, and I know you've run into such people. You can tell by the way they conduct themselves, whether they work with you or whether you just know them or you run into them on the street. How a person conducts themselves in public is kind of who they are. Regardless of what they say they are, regardless if they are in worship every time they can, regardless if they say they're a Christian, if you're around them and you observe them, you can tell what kind of person they are. Not that you're a soul reader or a heart reader, but you can see what their life reflects. Jesus said, what's inside you comes out. Did he not say that? What kind of person you are comes out. And that's wherever you are. So if you're one that likes to live in darkness, then that's what you're going to be in. But Jesus says, you are called to be the light of the world. We sing the song, the children's song, about the candlestick and being hidden under a bushel. But that's only if you put it under there. People don't do that. If the power goes off, you have a candle, you turn on or you light a match or whatever and light the candle, you put it there so that you can see. You don't put a candle under a bushel. What would be the purpose of that? Well, if you're going to be the light, which you're called to be a light, if you're a Christian today, you are called to be a light. And not just any light, but the light that shines Jesus in all that you do and say. If you're going to be that way, people are going to know it. You can't hide it, Jesus says. You put it on, it's like putting the house on a hill. I know you've seen many. If you drive around here, especially on several hills, tops, you'll see a house up there. You can't but see it. Well, if you're a Christian, Jesus says your light is going to so shine that people cannot but see your light. You can't hide it. And again, in John chapter 1, starting verse 6, John continued on and said, there was a man who was sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, and that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was a true light that gives light to every man coming to the world. John, as recorded there in John, was sent to bear witness of the light. Now he was sent by God to bear witness of Jesus. At that time, when he was preaching, the folks did not know who Jesus was. Didn't care who Jesus was, but John was there to introduce him, if you will. He was there to bear witness of the true light. Put yourself into John's place, because that's where you are. You are sent out to be a witness for Jesus. Not that you should stand on a street corner and yell and scream, but that as you encounter people, as you will have the opportunity to engage with people, you are there to be a witness for Jesus. What kind of witness are you? What kind of witness was John? John was such a witness that he was willing to stand before a king and say, you're doing wrong. And in doing so, he lost his head. John the Baptist did. This John was willing to write things and go places and say things. And where he went, he said the truth. He ended up being exiled, because people didn't want to hear what he had to say. We're in a world like that today, where people don't want to hear the truth. Our country is changing its laws to a place where you can't tell me I'm doing wrong. Truth is truth, but people don't want to hear the truth. This word hasn't changed. No matter what men try to do to it, it's still truth. It'll be true today. It was the day it was penned. The day it was in the mind of God, it's still true. And when your life is over, yes, there will be a judgment day, and these same words, as Jesus will say, will judge you. He said, I didn't come to judge you, but my words will judge you, because my words are truth. Those who deny Jesus today, one day they'll wish they hadn't. The true light. Jesus is that true light. What does Jesus mean there in John chapter 9 and verse 5? As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And also in John chapter 12, 35 and 36, he said, then Jesus said to them, a little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of the light. These things spake Jesus and departed and was hidden from them. What does he mean by that? What does he mean, as long as I'm here, there's light? Does that mean that when Jesus left, the light left with him? Well, yes, Jesus left the earth. His physical life was taken, as you know, and as he was nailed upon the cross. He left. But what does he mean, as long as I'm here, the light will be here? Well, if you put those things we've already talked about together, where he says in Matthew chapter 5 that you are the light of the world, that means as long as his word is taught upon earth, as long as there's Christians upon earth sharing the word with other people, then Jesus' light is still here. Yes, he's personally, physically not here. You can't see him in the flesh. However, you should be able to see him in every person who calls himself a Christian, because we are to be reflections of Jesus. And let that light so shine amongst men. Paul said in Romans chapter 13, sorry, verse 11, and do this knowing the time, that now is the time, no, sorry, now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Wake out of sleep. Paul says it's time to wake up. As we, as a nation, come out of this virus, and as things get better, and we're able to come out of our mask and actually come and start assembling and restrictions start going away, it's time we come out of our sleep. You know, there's a lot of things that's happened during this time that we've been isolated, if you will. Most of us did not like a lot of things that happened. Some would go to say that the government acted a little bit too stringent on things, like restricting us from doing things. But regardless of all that, things have changed, and you know that. But now, they're loosening back up. It's time for us to wake out of sleep and go attack sin again. He goes on to say there, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. And we all could say that. Paul said it, and it's true. You know, the day you were baptized and became a Christian, whatever day that was, today you're closer to the day that you will be in heaven than you were then. Verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. He says in Ephesians chapter 6, the end part of that chapter, talks about the armor of a Christian. And as you look at that passage of Scripture, the armor that a Christian is to wear, he described different pieces, articles. He compared it to a soldier at that time, a Roman soldier's armor. All of those pieces of armor were defensive in nature except for one. One of them was a sword. The sword we have today still, the Word of God. That is the only offensive thing that soldier that he described in Ephesians chapter 6 had. The rest was for defense. And you didn't want to go out on the battlefield. If a soldier would not want to go out there without the proper attire, we as Christians do not need to go out and face the world without the proper attire either. Put on that armor of light. Where are those things? Ephesians chapter 6, look it up. It goes from head to toe. What you should wear, what you should put on. Those are the things that are necessary for a Christian to wear every day. Because regardless of what day you have, whether you're going to work every day, you're at home, or go to school, whatever you are facing the enemy. The enemy being the devil, of course. And you have to be ready at all times to defend. Make sure you wear the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, but strive and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Put on the Lord, make no provisions for its lust, for the fleshly lust thereof. Put on the armor of light, come out of darkness, live in light. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Starting verse 1. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. And just as a side, you know, in the parable that Jesus told about the talents, he entrusted the Lord of the house, entrusted the three with different amounts of money. And he went away and he came back and expected them to be able to deliver to him what he had given them. And as each one went through, two of them were called good and faithful servants. The other one was not, because he didn't use the money, or did not use it the way he should have used it. Another place, he talks about stewards not being found faithful. We are stewards of God because he's entrusted us with something more valuable than money, his word. He's entrusted us to go out into the world and share that word with other people. The people that you know that are living in darkness need to hear what the word has to say. That's what you've been entrusted with. That's what you are a steward of. Steward of the word of God and how you present it to others. Will you be found faithful when you are asked the question, how did you handle what you were given? Did you use it accordingly? Like I wanted you to use it, to go out and teach other people? Did you live it in your life? Did you show the good example? Did you let my light shine through you? Or did you put your light under that bushel so people wouldn't know? You're a closet, if you will, Christian, where you tried to hide being a Christian amongst other people, and only among Christians do you let that light shine. Well, if that's the case, what good is that? Because those that need it didn't see it. Yes, it's encouraging, and it's very great to come together like this again and be uplifted and see other Christians. It's wonderful. But the real thing is going out into the world and showing others that what you believe and how you live your life and showing others that you are a Christian. Verse 3 says, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this, but he who judged me is the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful thing too? That the Lord will be our judge and not each other. Sometimes we become very judgmental of each other, and not that we should not help others on their path and their walk of Christian life. If you see me sin or I see you, then we have an obligation, if you will, to go and help that person, not to judge them, but to help them along their path. But some are very judgmental, especially those that are in darkness, love to cast stones at people who are trying to live right. They try to judge. Paul says, I'm glad that none of you are my judge. My judge is the Lord. By that, he means we are not capable of judging other people. Why? Even though you might know the person, you don't really know what's going on with that person and their heart, where their heart is. You may think they're the best person ever. Jesus may know other things, right? But regardless of all that, Paul says, you are not my judge. The Lord is my judge. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart, then each one praise will come from God. Jesus, Paul says that when Jesus comes, all those things that are hidden will be made open. All those things were done in darkness will be brought to light. All those things that people thought they had hidden or didn't really care, but had hidden, now are going to be known. Jesus will bring to light and bring all things to light. 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 and 10, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who were once not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now obtain mercy. We once, Peter says, was in darkness, but have been called out of that darkness into the marvelous light. Because that light is what makes you a Christian. You've been called to become a Christian. Peter says, we are a special people. And we are. Christians are a special group of people. And that's all over the world, as you know. There's Christians all over the world. So it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what country you come from. It doesn't matter your economic status or any of that thing. It matters where your heart is. A Christian is a Christian. And Peter says, we are a royal priesthood because we belong to a king. You are a special people called out for a special purpose. You belong to the Son of God because you've been called out of darkness into that marvelous light. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Again, walk in those things, live those things, practice those things that are good and wholesome, that are found in the Word of God, that would give praise and glory to God. Not those things that are of darkness, that would cause disgrace upon the church, upon God, would separate you from Him. There, in verse 14, it says, therefore, he says, arise, you who are asleep, arise from sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Arise. In chapter 6 of Romans, Paul compares being dead and being risen with Christ. Christ died and was arisen, arose, brought from the dead. We were dead in sin and can be brought forth to live that Christian life. We are to walk as Christ would have us to walk. In the light, in the steps that He has left for us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who does not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in the hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Those that live in darkness, like our minds have been blinded because they do not believe. They only believe in what they see. They only believe in what's good for me. They only believe in things that they want to do. Again, in the lesson this morning, we talked about sin and how it works and how it goes from point A to point B, from beginning to end. People who are living in sin are those who have been blinded and do not want to believe. Now, is that totally true? Well, maybe not. Maybe they haven't been taught. Again, that's our job, to go out and teach. But if they have been taught and choose, then they have been blinded by darkness. But it's God who has commanded the light to shine out of darkness. He said that from the beginning. That's like the first thing He says in Genesis chapter 1, let there be light, right? Well, physical light shone upon the earth, but also spiritual light is shining upon the earth, because that's what He is all about, and that's what He's called us to do. Christians, we are the light of the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abound in the work of love, work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's what Paul says to the church at Corinth. That's what we are to be about. Be steadfast, immovable. Always abound in the work of the Lord. That's not to say, Paul was not saying that we should not study the Word of God. And if we find that we've been thinking something wrong, that we should not change that. What he's saying is you are to be unmovable and steadfast in the cause of Christ. Be out there carrying Christ wherever you go. He's not a cloak in the fact that you take him off when you leave the building. When you became a Christian, as he says here in Colossians chapter 3, you are now, or he is now, your life. This is probably one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Colossians chapter 3. Turn to verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the earth. For if you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So he says, he tells the church at Colossae there, when you became a Christian, just like he could say to us here, when you became a Christian, you were raised with Christ. And he goes on to say, you are now to walk with Christ, because when you became a Christian, he became your life. He said there again in Romans 6, you put that man, the old man, to death. But you are a new person because Christ now lives in you. Christians, we are to walk as Christ would have us to walk. Walk with him. Allow him to live in our life because he is now your life. Walk the walk of light. Those that are not Christians, unbeliever, John chapter 8, we already read that, but it says, therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Those who do not believe, and that's as far as it needs to go in that particular setting, because if you don't believe, you won't continue the other steps of becoming a Christian. Jesus says, if you don't believe who I am, you're going to die where you are. If you die where you are in a non-believing status, you will find yourself in a place you do not want to be at the end. In John chapter 12, verse 46 through 48, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words, let me try that again. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word which I have spoken will judge him in the last day. So Jesus said, I didn't come to judge the world. I came to give life to the world through my life. That's what he says. But at the end of time, my words will judge you because I've given them to you. We have the opportunity today, like others did not in the past, is having this book. And we have the opportunity to read and study it every day as much as you want. Now, I know you have other obligations in life, but you can read this as much as you want to. It's there available for you. And it's these words that are going to judge you. That's what he says to the unbelievers. He says that to us too, but those that are unbelievers are the ones that are really going to find this to be remarkable at the day of judgment day. They're not going to believe it, but yet it's going to come true, isn't it? Again, he says in John chapter 3, verse 18. He who believes in me is not condemned, but he does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. The things that we do today, the small things, we might consider them not very noteworthy at all, but every act of kindness that you do to other people have been done through God. It's a blessing to those that you bestow that gift upon, if you will. It's a blessing to you too. Because you are acting out of love and kindness and out of the light that Jesus has given you. So today, the light of the world. The light has been given to us. We know that Jesus is the light of the world. That's described there in the New Testament. Question comes, what will you do with the light that you've been given? You're going to put it under a bushel and don't let anybody see it and try to claim your home in heaven when that time comes? Or are you going to let that light shine through your life, let others know who you are? You don't have to go out and wear a sign on your shirt, dress, coat, "I'm a Christian." People are going to know what you are by the way you live your life. What are you going to do with that light that you've been given? If you're not a Christian today, I encourage you greatly to consider what Jesus has to say. Because if you do not believe that he is he, you will die in your sins. Which means, at the end of time, you will find a place not in heaven, as many of the people in the world believe, but in a place far from heaven, in hell. If you are not a Christian, we encourage you to think about it strongly. Hear the word of God. Believe what he has to say. Repent from all sins. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and your Savior. And be baptized for remission of sins. If you are a Christian and have had issues, had sin come into your life, and you've allowed that sin to separate you from God, now is the time to put that away and bring yourself back into the relationship. Allow God back in your life and renew that relationship with God so that on the day of judgment, he will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So what will you do with the light that you've been given?